Unitarian Universalism is a big tent religion. We draw from many diverse sources. You can see all six of them listed on the back of your order of service. And our sixth source is the spiritual teachings of earth-centered religions, which celebrate the sacred circle of life and instruct us to live in harmony with the rhythms of nature. Now, there are many different earth-centered traditions, but here on this day before Halloween, known in the pagan tradition as Samhain, I'd like to invite us to reflect in particular on the spiritual path of paganism. Since we're also 8 days away from a U.S. presidential election, that would be the first metaphor that came to mind. So if you'll indulge me in a political analogy to try to help explain the ways that different groups understand and relate to paganism differently. Consider, for example, that the way that Hillary Clinton describes herself and her policies and her aspirations are starkly different from the ways that Donald Trump describes her. The inverse in many ways is also true, that Donald would use different words and different frameworks to describe himself and his campaign than Hillary would. Now, there are rare cases of people describing their opponents in the most charitable terms and then still attempting to prove them wrong. But far too often, we humans tend to frame our opponents in the least charitable terms, even in false or misleading ways, and then to knock down those straw men instead of the actual opponent's arguments. Now, a similar dynamic is in play when we look back on how people understand words like Christian or pagan. Many Christians would prefer to describe themselves as people who seek to follow Jesus' way of love and forgiveness and mercy, and that has been the case with the best of the Christian tradition through the centuries. But some opponents of Christianity would prefer to describe Christians from a different perspective, using words like hypocritical, bigoted against homosexuals, sheltered, or judgmental. Similarly, pagans, it comes from the Latin word paganus. It used to simply mean peasants in the Roman Empire. So if you were a pagus, you were from a country district, and a paganus was someone who lived there. So a pagus lived in a paganus. Likewise, the word heathen just meant someone who lived in the heath, the country, not the city. It was not until the rise of Christianity. So Christianity was primarily an urban phenomenon. So as Christianity rose, those country-dwelling pagans and heathens, who continued in many cases to celebrate their local gods and goddesses, came to be seen as infidels, idolaters, and heretics. Before Christianity tried to lump a wide diversity of polytheistic traditions together as this thing called paganism, this thing that the pagans, the peasants, did, pagans were simply that. They were just peasants following their distinct and various local traditions. So instead of how others might describe or have described pagans, I invite you to consider just one example from the late Margot Adler. She was a NPR reporter, a Unitarian Universalist, as well as the author of one of the definitive guides to the modern pagan movement in the U.S., titled Drawing Down the Moon. So this is one example from Adler of how pagans might describe themselves. They sense an aliveness and a presence in nature. They share the goals of living in harmony with nature, and they tend to view humanity's so-called advancement and separation from nature as a prime source of the alienation that many moderns feel. They tend to see ritual as a tool to end that alienation. They gravitate to ancient symbols and ancient myths and the old polytheistic traditions. They are reclaiming these stories and transforming them for today's world. They do not regard pleasure as sinful, nor do they consider this world to be a burden. While many of their members lead quite ordinary, successful lives in the so-called real world, they are able to detach themselves from many of the trends of the day, maintaining a sense of humor, a gentle anarchism, and a remarkable tolerance for diversity. Their religious movement is only partly what might be called an occult phenomenon, occult meaning that which is hidden or beyond the range of ordinary perception. Often it is interwoven with the visionary and artistic tradition, the ecology movement, the feminist movement, and the libertarian movement. All that being said, because paganism both historically and today is highly decentralized, if you actually got together two or three pagans to say, tell me a little bit about what does paganism mean, you'd get either two, three, four, five, or more different answers to that, sort of like Unitarian Universalism. So regarding the number of pagans in the U.S. today, the most recent number I've seen is somewhere around 1 million. Related to the growing number of adherents to Earth-centered traditions, last month here at UUCF, we had 393 people show up for our second annual Pagan Pride Day. The International Pagan Pride Project seeks to eliminate prejudice and religious discrimination through education, activism, charity, and community. Our local version included full-day workshops, music, and vendors. Planning's already underway for a third annual Pagan Pride Day in September 2017. In the meantime, if you're curious, now paganism isn't for everyone, but if it might be for you, if you're curious to learn more about the Earth-centered spiritual tradition, our UU Pagan group here has three regular gatherings to which all are welcome. Every third Sunday during the 10:30 a.m. middle hour between the two services over there in the chapel, there is an Earth-centered spirituality service. Each full moon, there's a labyrinth walk that's either here in the sanctuary or on our grass labyrinth that's in between the sanctuary and the chapel. And there's finally a ritual and potluck meal to celebrate each of the 8 points on the Wheel of the Year, the next of which is Samhain. That'll be tonight at 7, if any of you want to come back for that. So each year, I try to read one or more books about each of the 6 sources of Unitarian Universalism to try to go deeper into them. And in the past year, I was interested to see that Alex Marr's book, Witches of America, had been named one of the New York Times' top 100 books of 2015. Have any of you read that by any chance? All of you read all of the top 100 books every year, right? I know you do. Here's how Marr describes herself. She says, "Raised in Manhattan, I confirm plenty of the stereotypes of New Yorkers. Overeducated liberal, feminist, skeptic of organized religion, surrounded by friends who consider agnosticism to be an uncomfortable level of devotion." She says, "I believe in something transcendent, but I've yet to meet anyone with a convincing label of it." So that's who Marr is. But her book, Witches of America, is a memoir about who she is, this liberal New Yorker, spent 5 years going in depth into various aspects of the pagan movement in the U.S. So if you're interested, the book is interesting. I appreciated it. But there is a tension there, actually, this related to this, what we've been exploring about the difference, the tension between how one might describe oneself versus how others might describe you. There's been some heated debate online about whether Marr's descriptions of modern pagans are fair. Some agree, including some of the pagans she's describing. Some strongly disagree. Personally, I find one of the most compelling parts of paganism to be the focus on the Wheel of the Year. So if you imagine a circle, you imagine that cut into quarters, and think about those quarters being the seasons of the year. So one quarter winter, spring, summer, fall. And paganism adds the additional nuance of what are called cross-quarter days. So it breaks the year into eighths instead of fourths. So it has 8 turning points. And I really appreciate that added subtlety of encouraging us to really be attentive to the turning of the seasons. So in between winter solstice and spring equinox is Imbolc, an invitation to celebrate the lengthening of daylight. And like that word Lent, some of you may know that from the Christian tradition leading up to Easter. Lent comes from the Latin word lecten, meaning the lengthening of days. So all these things start to relate if you start overlapping the traditions. But and also, of course, this pagan tradition of Imbolc is secularized as Groundhog's Day, is the secular equivalent. In between spring equinox and summer solstice is Beltane, famous for the dancing around the maypole, again secularized as May Day. In between summer solstice and fall equinox is Lammas, and Lammas is a time of gratitude and abundance for the first harvest, which many of us can get away from in our grocery stores, just have all the things all the time, right? Lammas is a chance to get back in touch with those agricultural rhythms. And finally, in between fall equinox and winter solstice is Samhain, also known as All Hallows' Eve or Halloween, a time in particular for remembering your ancestors, as Irene spoke about earlier, of visiting her ancestors' graves and cleaning them. For now, on this day before Samhain, on the eve of All Hallows' Eve, in the silent and musical meditation to follow, I invite you just to continue reflecting on what are potentially the aspects of our UU6 source that either individually or collectively resonate with you or might call with you. What might you have to learn and go deeper into celebrating the sacred circle of life and into living more fully in harmony with the rhythms of nature.